this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, here's a story from Phoenix, Arizona. That's a place where I'll be heading next month for a conference. Starts out, quote, "It gives you the willies. The hair on your neck goes up," end quote. That's what one neighbor said in this particular neighborhood. When it turns out, a man in the community that all the neighborhood thought was a little strange has been arrested, suspected of murdering at least two women more than 20 years ago. And all the neighbors have said, you know, this guy, he had some peculiar hobbies. We always wondered about him. They said, for one thing, he bought an old police patrol vehicle, which he repainted to read, quote, "Zombie Hunter" across the back and sides. And then he would frequently drive around town with a mannequin zombie in the passenger seat and with the car splattered with fake blood. Police also say the suspect was definitely a hoarder. They are going through his house and hauling out belongings to see what clues they may discover. So all I can tell you is it's true. Sometimes if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck. It's probably a murderer. Hey, thank you for joining us tonight. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I am founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations, and my producer and engineer is Mr. Sam, the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
And hola to you too, sir. How you doing?
Muy bien, muy bien.
Muy.
Yeah, you know, once again, for those listening who don't know, I have made the very wise decision to do my work this time of year here in the warm tropical Bermuda Triangle environment of Puerto Rico, while the rest of you there are really trudging through some kind of nasty cold weather. But hey, the good news is we're getting closer and closer to spring every day, right?
Yeah, you know what they say, to have four seasons in a day here in western
yes.
North Carolina. So, you know, it might be sunny in 55. Who knows?
That's right. Well, investigator Shelley Wright is actually out in the field tonight, so bless her heart. She's out there where it's nice and cold and creepy, and she's working on some reports that she hopefully will be able to bring back. So tonight it's just you and me, Sam, the dynamic duo here.
Oh, Daddy going to give you that's not too early.
But actually, we are going to bring in just a fascinating guest tonight. One of the people that I, you know, I would say that for me, this guy is truly an icon. And if you've never heard his name, well, then after tonight's show, I think you will understand why that for, oh gosh, well over 20 years, I've been a fan. You know, Sam, when I was 16 years old, my first real job was working as a clerk at B. Dalton Bookseller at the Asheville Mall.
I stole a bunch of stuff from there.
I probably saw, you know, the records. I was going through inventory. I was the guy who would go in the back and find, like, all of the Penthouse magazines that had been stuffed into War and Peace.
You just read my mind.
Yeah. As people would stand in the back corner and pleasure themselves. So, yeah, I got to see all the gritty underbelly of the publishing world. And actually, that was a very wise decision. I saw a lot of gritty stuff, yes. But, you know, it seems to me that one of the reasons I actually turned out doing well as an author is that, you know, I knew that I needed to see the sort of interface at the end of the road that where people actually walk into the store, pull out their money, and buy a product. I needed that retail perspective, and now I recommend that to anybody who's interested in becoming a book author. So anyway, I was in charge of these books called Special Orders, and that was a very fortuitous job for me because I got exposed to a lot of weird books during this period of time that you would never ordinarily find on the shelf. It's the kind of thing where it was sort of a niche market. Somebody would have to walk in and say, I'm looking for this particular book, and so I would go and order it for them. And I was, yeah, I was introduced to all kinds of just bizarre stuff, some good and some bad. But one day, somebody came in and ordered a book called Psionic Power. And it was by Charles Casamano. And when this book came in, I started flipping through it, and I saw it was a book about how you can build all of these sort of machines, these weird machines that tap into your own psychic power and allow you to manifest all these crazy effects. And so I ordered a copy just for myself and gobbled it up, and then I started reading some of his other books. And this is the guy who really – first introduced me through his books to radionics, psionics, psychotronics, all this kind of stuff that has now culminated in the wishing machine. And in fact, we have a brand new model of the wishing machine that we've just debuted this month. It's called the Model E. And that's because the classic wishing machine is totally mind-powered. It doesn't take any batteries. It doesn't plug into a wall. But we've taken feedback from people for all these years now, and Dr. Mulder has created a wishing machine that does plug into the wall. And for some reason that we don't understand, it seems to expedite the rate at which wishes come true. And so, you know, I realize that this could be because, well, the mind, the brain is an electrical machine, and so therefore this thing has an electric field. Maybe they interact in some kind of interesting way to enhance each other. Or maybe it's just that we live in a day and age when, you know, we grow up associating, putting something or plugging something into the wall with it working. And that gives some subconscious aspect of our minds more power to put behind it. I don't know. But we've got this new Model E app. If you want to see what it looks like, just go to wishingmachineproject.com and click the news link. So it seemed like the perfect time to bring on Charles Casamano. Now, I interviewed him once many years ago. And now I know so much more and have so much more to talk to him about. So he's going to be joining us, hour number two. Dr. Psionic, some people call him the diabolical Uncle Chucky.
I mean, this is a guy who, in a way, and I say this very affectionately, he kind of reminds you of a superhero villain who's just sitting there in his lair and controlling world events with all these strange boxes around him. So how cool does that sound, Sam the Animal?
I'm just happy to have a pad here that says Uncle Chucky on it. It makes me happy just looking at that.
Yeah, the infamous Uncle Chucky will be on the program tonight. And we're going to ask him, how the heck did he get introduced to all this kind of technology? We're going to ask him what his advice is on how to use it. How, you know, I want some examples from him on, like, how far he has gone with this. What are some of the biggest things that he's been able to manifest? And we'll get just as much insight from him as possible that you all in the audience can also use in order to, you know, get a better grasp on how this stuff may work. So, quite fascinating. I'm looking forward to that. Of course, next month I will be in Scottsdale, Arizona, February 17th through the 22nd, speaking at the International UFO Congress. And then I'm going to be in Sedona, Arizona on February 23rd, presenting a wishing machine workshop. So there's a lot of wishing machine-oriented stuff going on right now.
What's the tie-in between Sedona and the wishing machine? Is there a large group out there, or Arizona in general?
Well, I went to Sedona probably for the first time, I'm thinking, around 2008. And I was amazed of course, everybody knows Sedona has all this psychic power, and there are all these energy vortexes that people talk about, which may or may not be real, frankly. I mean, scientifically, I've never been able to measure anything there, but you definitely feel amazing when you're in Sedona. You feel like you're walking on the surface of Mars. It looks incredible. It's like another planet. But I remember walking into a shop, which was, I think, the coolest kind of radionic shop that I've ever seen in my life. Whoever owned this place was into sort of sacred geometry and Tesla coil harmonics and all these kind of weird artistic geometric designs that were all meshed together into devices that you could use, like wands and helmets. And then there was a section where you could go in the back and sit underneath a giant pyramid and meditate. And I swear to you, Sam, this pyramid, it was just a big metal pyramid with crystals on it. It wasn't electrified or hooked to anything mechanical. But I went in there and I sat down under this pyramid, and my body was vibrating. I mean, literally no different than, you know, if you're sitting next to a refrigerator or a washing machine. I mean, it was a very physical vibration. And I can't explain how that happened. So this time I'm going back better prepared to do more investigation. So, yes, there's already a community of people in Sedona that understand a little bit about this kind of technology.
It's the sacred G.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, two things I want to talk about. Number one, you know, we were talking on the show last week about mysterious booms. Well, guess what? There was a gigantic boom, like, I think the next night, that was heard all over Western North Carolina. And on last week's show, we were talking about dark matter. Well, scientists are now talking about an entirely new type of matter. Listen to this. It's called strange matter.
Get out.
And I'm going to tell you what it is when we come back on the show, where we dig into a lot of strange matter, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Let's
the Bermuda Triangle, the Isle of Puerto Rico, the Isle of Enchantment. Hitchhiking the E.T. Highway. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And you can call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. You'll understand why that I do business with Wright's Coin Shop, because I want to protect my money in this shaky economy. I advise you to do the same thing. Call them at 828-298-5402. There's also a link at speakingofstrange.com. There is a live chat during the show, more information on topics discussed, a link to our Facebook page and Twitter account, and you'll find a link to the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. And, yes, we are running year-round. And even when it's cold and you don't want to get out and walk, that's okay, because right now we have special ghost hunts taking place. These are indoors where it's nice and toasty in the historic and haunted Asheville Masonic Temple. And this season, for a limited time, you can even rent a pair of third-generation night vision goggles to use on your ghost hunt. So if you're ever going to do a ghost hunt, this is the time to do it. Go to hauntedasheville.com for all the details, hauntedasheville.com. You know, Sam, this area of ours here, and of course I'm referring to Asheville, where you are, my hometown, is such a paranormally active place that sometimes you almost feel like if you speak of the devil, he shall appear, because there are sort of supernatural energies that are just right there brimming on the edge, waiting to pop in and say hi. And last week on the show, we talked a good deal about these mysterious booms that people often hear that are usually around mid-January to mid-February. Often they are in conjunction with fireballs. And scientists cannot explain what causes these phenomena and even the extent to which the two may be related. We even played some audio last week of these
sounds.
And you know, how some of these sounds can be overlaid and create some rather unsettling music. Well, did you know, Sam, that aired last Saturday night. The next evening, on January the 18th, which was, of course, Sunday, a huge boom was heard in western North Carolina. It was heard not only in Asheville, but north of Asheville, south of Asheville, east of Asheville, west of Asheville. In fact, Mobius even heard it, and he is located out toward Hendersonville.
I thought he was in the lair of the underworld.
Well, that's where it is. Hendersonville is the lair of the underworld. And so News 13 did a report on Monday, the 20th, about how – or no, I'm sorry, the 19th, about how many people had been contacting News 13 saying, what the heck happened? I mean, there were all kinds of police-oriented investigators out in the field trying to figure out what had caused this. So, I mean, Mobius said that when he heard the boom, after we'd just been talking about booms, he almost wondered if somebody was playing a prank, you know, if somebody heard our show and went out and set off some dynamite or something. But there's just no evidence so far that that happened. It's another one of those mysteries. So talk about having your finger right on the pulse of what's happening in the world. We certainly do on this show.
That's wild, man.
Yeah, and as if that weren't enough, as if we needed to prove even more the extent of our expertise and the grasp that we have of the strange and mysterious, we were also talking some on the show last week about the mystery of dark matter and dark energy. The two together constitute more than 95% of the known universe, meaning that by far, we don't even know what the heck is going on here in this universe. And now, this legitimate news story has come out, and this is the real deal. Of course, I followed it up, and I did research. News story says, as if dark matter weren't weird enough,
Now scientists say strange matter could be lurking somewhere in the universe, and there may be entire stars made of it. I said, strange matter, huh? Scientists at the National Institute for Space Research in Brazil say an undiscovered type of matter could be found in neutron stars. They say matter is so dense there it could be squashed into strange matter unlike anything we have seen. The exact properties of strange matter are unknown. If it exists, though, it could help scientists discover ripples in space-time known as gravitational waves. Scientists have revealed that this strange matter could unlock some of the secrets of the universe. And so I keep waiting to hear more about, like, well, what do they think this is? And they just keep saying, well, we don't really know. So I did some deeper research. I started digging around. Here is the current Wikipedia article on strange matter, and this is how it's being scientifically classified. Strange matter is a particular form of quark matter, usually thought of as a liquid of up, down, and strange quarks. It is to be contrasted with nuclear matter, which is a liquid of neutrons and protons. Okay, and it goes on to say, at high enough density, strange matter is expected to be color superconducting. And I, now, when I read color superconducting, immediately I'm thinking, this is so colorful, so to speak, that you can't even comprehend the colors. Like, maybe there is some color out there that you can't, you've never seen before, right? And in fact, I've often told people that one of the cool things about going to Sedona, Arizona, is that when you go there, and of course everybody brings their cameras, you take a ton of pictures, you get home, you're so disappointed. There's no way that you can capture the colors that you see coming from the sand and just the sky and everything around there. You cannot capture it on camera. It's, and I've often thought it's almost like there are new colors there that you've never seen before. And so, of course, I go to look up, well, let's see exactly what the definition of color superconductivity is. And it says, color superconductivity is a phenomenon predicted to occur in quark matter if the baryon density is sufficiently high. And I'm thinking, geez, this is so scientific, all this stuff, right? And I'm trying to get a grasp on something here that I can kind of put into terms that are radio-friendly here. And it basically goes on to say, and I think this is maybe the closest we're going to get, it says, a color superconducting phase has a very different spectrum of excitations and very different properties from the normal phase. So I think that's the best we're going to get, given scientists don't even really know exactly what's going on here, and it's difficult enough for us to try to wrap our mind around these things. But it's some kind of like a – it's like a comic book substance, I think.
You think?
It's something, yeah. It, you know, they say they use the word liquid. We know what liquid is, so it's fluid. And but they're talking about quarks and all these things, and you know, who knows what that breaks down into in terms of the real experience. But think of like a fluid energy that is so vibrant you can barely look at it.
But I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a black hole or something where, or time travel, or you know, something of that nature, which could be very, very difficult to wrap one's head around. But if you see a good explanation of it, it's like, oh, you know, put in layman's terms, it's somewhat graspable. You know what I'm saying? I think it's out there. It's just difficult to wrap one's head around, you know?
Yeah, they don't know enough themselves yet. This is so kind of weird and groundbreaking. Even the scientists don't know enough themselves to give us the tools to condense it down into exactly what they're talking about.
We can't even think of what another color would be.
No. Super color superconducting. just goes to show you the world is a vast place. But, hey, let's bring our heads down out of the clouds for a minute, because when we come back, I have the latest weird story from Walmart. See, this is something you can sink your teeth into. This is real world. This is real life. Nothing is more American than a good Walmart story. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Irresistible grass. Can't keep my eyes from the circling sky. Tongue-tied, twisted, just an earthbound distant. This is Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you may call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. And, yes, you know, I hate to play La Isla Bonita when it's wintertime there in western North Carolina. Down here in the tropics, I had to have my air conditioner repaired the other day. But for those of you who are in an area where you're experiencing winter weather, well, I've got some good news for you. I'm always singing the praises of the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator for the home. It's created by me and my team. It is hands down the world's most powerful solar generator for the lowest price, guaranteed. Well, we have a unit called the Sunshine Simple Junior, okay? And this thing is so compact. It's a 400-watt solar generator with a folding solar panel. The whole thing weighs less than 50 pounds, so anybody can carry it and move it around. We're talking about both components, the generator and the panel together, are less than 50 pounds. And with 400 watts, I mean, you are able to keep your phones charged, use your laptop, use your radio. I mean, basically, when you are in a situation where your power goes out, one of the most important things is to have communication. And also, it's nice to have some entertainment, right? And so this is what the Sunshine Simple Junior allows for you to maintain, some entertainment, some communication. And it used to be $895. Well, right now we have a special winter sale going on. Sit down, get ready for this. If you go right now to the website, you can buy a Sunshine Simple Junior for $495. That is a $400 discount. And if you decide you want to get a regular Sunshine Simple Junior, we'll give you a $100 discount on those as well. So just go to sunshinesimple.com. That's sunshinesimple.com. And you can read about all of our units, including the Sunshine Simple Junior, while you have this sale price for the winter. A little winter gift to lift your spirits. We just sold one about 2 minutes ago to a lady in Fort Collins, Colorado. I'm sure that it'll come in handy for her there in Colorado. Some people, on the other hand, they don't have to worry about staying warm because they just decide to go live for free somewhere like Walmart. And that is exactly what has happened here in Grand Blanc, I guess that's Michigan, says here, a woman apparently found all the comforts of home at the Michigan department store where she lived for 2 days before her quote-unquote eviction. The woman was 45 years old, and she moved in there on January 6th with no plans to move out. Says she was living with her son, but reportedly he got kicked out first due to an alleged drinking problem. Blew it. The woman was able to blend in with other customers for the first couple of days. Says during the day she'd just walk around and meander near the store, and at night she would sneak into the bathroom and sleep. And it was only after a couple days when managers were looking at surveillance video and realized that this woman had been there for at least 2 days. They confronted her, and they tried to get her to leave several times before calling the police. Detective said, quote, when I first made contact with her, she was sitting in a chair. She had a laptop in her lap and her headphones on and was just kind of trying to ignore him.
She like claimed squatter's rights?
Something like that. It said, you know, that she had a light jacket on that was unsuited for the cold weather. So it says, you know, they gave her a ticket, and they took her to the police department where she was picked up by a relative. So, you know, no matter how down on your luck you get, at least you might be able to squeeze a couple days of survival out of the local Walmart.
I bet you if you add up my cumulative Walmart days at the end of the year... There's not a lot. I'm a night guy. You are too. There's not a lot of places to go at 3 in the morning other than like Ingles, Walmart, or Waffle House. That's pretty much your options, you know?
Well, that is very true, yeah. And it's a shame. I mean, even the strip clubs are closed at that time of night in most states.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and
yeah.
If you're here and there's only one and you've been banned from it.
I mean, that's what I like about Las Vegas.
The city that truly never sleeps?
Exactly. You know, they say that about New York, and that's bull.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that closes down early in New York.
The toy stores all close at like 7, 8.
Yes, exactly. And even sometimes, same as in any town, if you're in New York and you go to a place at, you know, midnight, they've already cut their grills off, then you can't even get any food. They're just serving alcohol. You go to Vegas... It doesn't matter what the hour is. I mean, you can find what you're looking for there. I remember the last time I was in Vegas, I had to catch an airplane, and so I went and I had a big breakfast like 6 o'clock in the morning, and I told the bartender it was my last meal before I had to leave Vegas, and he felt so sorry for me, he gave me some free tequila to drink.
Oh.
So I had tequila shots before breakfast. I thought, you know, I can get used to this. But you know, you never can tell where you're going to find a person stashed away. Here's a story from Montclair, California. A man took his car to a car wash, and when he came home, he realized that there was some rather bizarre knocking coming from his trunk. He got out, went back there, banged on his trunk, and somebody started tapping back. Okay, this freaked him out, obviously. He had his son with him, and they were about to open the trunk, but they actually chickened out at the last minute and said, you know, let's get the cops. This is scary. there's somebody in this trunk for sure. So the police go there, surround the car with tasers and guns drawn. They open it, and this rather jovial man comes climbing out, says he's happy to be free from the trunk, only to be handcuffed and taken into custody.
Short-lived.
Yeah. And it says here, quote, he was saying he was sorry a lot and that he was running away from someone that was trying to take his money because he didn't pay up or something. I guess he worked at the car wash, too. He must have got in while they were washing it. He just closed the trunk on himself, end quote. The family say they can laugh about this bizarre thing now, but it was very frightening as it was unfolding. And even the police officer said, this is a new one for us. We've never seen something like this before.
Noobs.
Yeah. Boy, you know, it's like I don't see how somebody could do that. I'm too claustrophobic. I could never close myself up in a trunk like that. You have claustrophobia at all, Sam?
Not so much. It's weird that you are, though, since you've been locked in the closet for so many years.
Yes, that is true. Ding, ding, ding. I've been locked in a lot of closets over the years. Searching for ghosts and ghouls and creepy things.
You should write a book about it or something.
I should. I should. It reminds me of, you know, the movie Teen Wolf.
Oh, just watched it the other day, actually.
Well, you remember the closet scene, right?
Yeah, boof.
That's more like my closet experience.
I was watching it, and I was wondering, if I may, you know, at the time when we were kids, that seemed like awesome. Now, you watch it, and it's like, okay, wait, so Styles is doing some van surfing, which is really not cool. It's just like... Dude, Teen Wolf's driving around Styles, and he's just on top of a van, and he's, like, wantonly being reckless, and everybody in the town's just looking at him. He's drunk. They're underage drinking. It seems like a lot of liability issues. I don't know.
Well, you know, it is funny when you just look back at movies from 70s and 80s.
Yeah, we're old.
In particular. And you look at some of the things that were perfectly funny and kind of charming and cute, you know, at that time.
It's all like date rape now.
Exactly, yeah.
You can't have Porky's now. Even though Porky's was like in the 80s, that was really in the 50s, you can't make that movie now.
No. I mean, it's funny that these little, like, cultural undertones of sort of sexism and racism that were around even when, you know, when you and I were kids, and we're not that old now, and you can see... how dramatically things have changed. And I guess it goes to show to a certain extent, you know, if you go back in American history 50, 60 years ago, not to mention, you know, 250 years ago, how blind that people were at times to the full implications of what they were doing.
So I think the moral of that story is kids don't do any van surfing like Styles.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be so cool, too. I thought he was the coolest. Now I'm like, yeah, not so much.
Well, speaking of,
excellent
of the
movies.
American system, yeah, I've got a headline here called Horror at the White House.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it has to do with something that is truly nightmarish, porta-potties. And I'll explain what that means when we come back, and I'll also tell you about some scary new technology the police have. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
They only come a ten about twice a year.
We'll be right back.
We're in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I am Joshua P. Warren, and guess what? Next hour, hour number two, I am extremely excited about our special guest. And, you know, we don't even have that many guests on the show anymore because I'm very selective. I want to make sure it's going to be somebody really special, really interesting before I bring them on. And this guy fits the bill. We are going to have Uncle Chucky himself.
Uncle Chucky.
Charles Casamano. He is the radionics expert. I mean, this guy is the legend, the myth. He is the author of books like Psionic Power, Psychic Power, and he is one of those guys who sits in his lair surrounded by machines with buttons and panels and levers and helmets and wands. And if you contact him and say, look, I have a problem I want you to help me with, he'll help you take care of it. And we're going to ask him about the repercussions of that because sometimes, I mean, I've heard him say before, we'll ask him, I've heard him say, hey, if somebody is being a jerk and you take them out, don't worry about karma. Nothing's going to happen to you. So we'll find out the scoop on that and how you can also get involved with the types of devices and the type of work that he does, digging into radionics. So let's see here. Before we wrap this hour up, here's a story called Porta Potty Horror at the White House. The White House has faced lawsuits lately over everything from the Affordable Care Act and immigration policy to the National Security Agency's phone data surveillance program. And now you can add one more to the list, slippery porta potties. A Fairfax Station woman has filed a $4 million lawsuit over a tumble she took at the 2012 White House Easter egg roll, blaming her fall on wet flooring of portable toilets at the event. In a three-page complaint filed in U.S. District Court, this woman says she exited a porta potty at the event and slipped on a wet set of stairs, shattering her foot when she fell. The lawsuit claims the negligence on behalf of the United States for failure to maintain the porta potties in a safe manner and to keep the nearby stairs free of water. The woman's complaint states that water was available for hand washing at the porta potty station, but there were no towels or hand dryers in the vicinity, and so as a result, water collected on the stairs, making them slick. Says that she had to get multiple pins in her foot from extensive surgery after the break. It says she incurred medical expenses, physical and mental pain and anguish, loss of wages. So what do you think, Sam? Is that worth $4 million?
No, and if she hates that, she would just put her in a men's porta potty. I guess there's not actually, I'm thinking, there's not men's and women's typically. However, if you were at an event such as that, I would assume there would probably be a separation, perhaps. What do you think about that? Because I have done events where we've had like VIP porta potties, very important porta potties.
Sure.
And they do have a men's side and a woman's side.
Well, you know, I understand how that anytime you slip and fall, you know, the place where you're at can be liable. But anytime somebody's wanting $4 million for breaking their foot, I mean, it's like, come on, how much is this lady's foot really worth?
And Lord knows, nobody wants to go down in a porta potty.
No.
No.
Nobody wants to.
But.
Yeah. Here's a last story before we go to our break. This is also from Washington, D.C. At least 50 U.S. law enforcement agencies have secretly equipped their officers with radar devices that allow them to effectively peer through the walls of houses to see whether anyone is inside. This is a practice raising new concerns about the extent of government surveillance. Agencies, including the FBI and the U.S. Marshals Service, began deploying these radar systems more than 2 years ago with little notice and no public disclosure of when or how they would be used. And so you can imagine people are pretty freaked out. They work like finely tuned motion detectors. They can determine whether somebody's in a house, where they are, if they're moving. It's almost like having a superpower. But
that being said, check speakingofstrange.com for updates on our new solar-powered wall peerer.
I hope so. That'll be next on the list. Okay, my friends, time for a break. When we come back, yes, it will be hour number two. And, yes, we will have with us the legendary, the mythic, the sardonic Uncle Chucky, the man, Charles Cosimano. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.